form since the World Cup came, since they came back from the World Cup, Villa have been the third best team in the Premier League.
That's a decent start. That's surprising. Crazy, isn't it? I know they've obviously improved a lot under Good Evening. I can't remember what it's called.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of FPL with Dummies. And after a 3-week hiatus, we did try and record last week, but that didn't go very well. We don't want to talk about that. I am back. My name is Tom, and I'm joined this week with Rob, who's filling in for Cam because Cam's just had a baby. Rob, how are you, mate? You alright?
Hello. Yeah, good. Thank you. Thanks again for having me on. Do appreciate it, and congratulations to Cam.
Well, yeah. Hopefully it looks more like his wife than him, because he is so ugly. No, congratulations, Cam. He's not listening. He doesn't care. How are you? You all right?
Yeah, good, thank you. Everything's excellent outside of Fantasy Premier League.
just inside of it, it's a bit shit, is it?
Inside, it's an absolute disaster. But otherwise, everything's all good, thank you.
Let's kick it off as we normally do when I get you on. The reason you're on the podcast is because I'm going to call you an FPL expert, which is going to really wind you up because you're going to hate that.
Yeah, I certainly am, particularly this season. By no means an expert. It's just been an absolute horror show since the World Cup. So yeah, currently on my ninth red arrow out of 12 since the World Cup, and the second chance league, so obviously the recording of ranks since the World Cup, just inside the top million, which
it's pretty atrocious.
Is not great from my perspective.
Yeah, but you did finish 978th last year, so you can have a year off.
Well, it's a good chance I can have a year off, because it's happening one way or the other.
But
the final nail in the coffin for this season is the fact that the league that you and I are both in, you have just surpassed me, which I think is potentially the first time ever.
I don't think it's the first time I've ever been above you.
This far into the season, it might be.
This far into the season, definitely is the first time I've ever been above you. Yeah, definitely. To put a bit of background on that, Rob is generally pretty good at FPL. Several top 20k finishes. 1, 2, 3, 4 of them, in fact. And then a few more in the top 50k as well. Plus last year finishing 978th. I know how much you love me talking about your history, mate. So, so Rob is particularly good at FPL. And this year, I'm actually above him. That's why I thought I'd bring him on this week, because I've gone above him this week. So how was your week last week? Pretty bad.
I actually thought I had an okay week. And then, I've got 49 points in total. But then I started looking down against some of the other teams around me, like yours, for example. And it seemed like everyone was scoring far higher than that. So, obviously got lucky got the points from Saka, 18 points. Probably just should have put captaincy on him as well. But other than those 18 points from Saka, I got a goal from Kane and captained him. But otherwise, it was, a sea of twos and a couple of zeros as well.
A few injuries.
Yeah, a couple of injuries to sort out this week. So
I think the Almiron one was pretty particularly harsh, though. Because, I mean, obviously you still own him, and I think that was announced literally maybe like a few hours after the deadline. Or no, literally just before the deadline. So people had already made transfers and all the news was in.
Yeah, I'd already made my transfers, definitely. So, and I'm trying my best to avoid minus fours this year. Obviously, it's not paying off, but I'm trying my best to avoid the minus fours. So I thought I'd stick with it, see if anyone would try and rescue it. Didn't have anyone obviously coming off a bench either, with it being a blank game week, and trying to keep some of those players in readiness for the upcoming double game week, which no doubt we'll get onto. But anyway, yeah, on to brighter things. How about your team? How did you get on?
I had a lovely week. Yeah, made the punty move of bringing in Alexander Isaac this week, which was, I think, potentially my favourite move of all time playing FPL. Watching him play and then him getting 13 points was just absolutely glorious. Should have had an assist as well, if it wasn't for fucking VAR. So yeah, that was very happy with that. And Tyrone Mings scoring a 12 point as well, which is like two just super differentials paying off. And as you said, the rest of my team is literally a sea of twos. I didn't captain Saka as well. If I did captain Saka, it would have been in ridiculously good. I captain Kane. But I still finished with a game rank of 202,000, which is ridiculously high at the moment. So I mean, what we got, 11,000 players in the game. So yeah, really happy with that. So yeah, not bad at all, mate.
It's good. You're looking good and strong position as well for the remainder of the season. I think Isaac was a inspired shout. I know I was questioning his minutes and yeah, how much he was going to play over the next few game weeks with sort of the quick turnaround of fixtures coming up. But yeah, with him scoring those two goals as well, I think he's nailed it down, hasn't he? The starting shirt. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, me and you have daily chats about FPL and who we're going to bring in. And I did say, I think I mentioned to you at least on four different occasions that I was going to bring him in. And then finally made the decision to actually bring him in rather than just talking about it, which I do like to do quite a lot. So yeah, good game weeks. Obviously, we're not going to bother talking about the fixtures this week because they were a week ago. And to be honest, I can't remember what happened. But what has happened recently is Mr. Antonio Conte has finally been sacked by Spurs. Your thoughts?
I think it was the right decision to sack him. Just yeah, they felt like a club that were not necessarily in free fall, but yeah, they certainly weren't. Didn't they look like they were heading backwards rather than forwards? And with a lot of competition for those Champions League places this year, it felt like they did need a change. Not only the usual clubs competing, but also, dare I say it, some of the smaller clubs as well trying to force their way into Europe. So I could certainly see Tottenham falling away from the European spots the way that they were heading. The only thing about it is I just think it's a strange decision to basically appoint his assistant, I think it is, and Ryan Mason until the end of the season. Seems very Daniel Levy-esque, but in that decision, but yeah, buying time. But you would like to think you'd want to see some sort of immediate impacts, and if those guys are around the club already, will they give that immediate impact? I don't know, but yeah. So it's a difficult one to weigh up. I'm going to sit on the fence and see how it goes and say that I was right all along.
I don't really get it. I don't understand. I agree with you. I don't see why appointing Stellini to the end of the season makes any difference. I mean, it's going to be surely the same philosophies that he's had as his assistant manager. I can't really see it changing too much.
No.
And now with Nagelsmann available, just go and get him. Like, so, I mean, they're going to wait till summer and he'll end up at Real Madrid or PSG or at one of the bigger sides because he's proven this year, ironically, he's proven that he's actually a good manager. So he can sit in second in the Bundesliga. Bayern Munich only lost three games all season this year. And so I don't understand why Tottenham have just not gone, right, let's try and get him now because, well, A, he's not going to cost any money. And B, if they do wait to summer and he goes to someone else, they're going to have to spend money getting someone else out of another club. So, yeah, I don't get it.
No, likewise. And I think it felt like they missed the boat a little bit on Tuchel. Obviously, him moving to Bayern to replace Nagelsmann. Tottenham have been linked with him for months and since he's been sacked from Chelsea pretty much, since Conte's been doing badly, and felt like they've missed the boat there. And yeah, they've not learned the lesson. And also, Pochettino's waiting in the wings, isn't he? Couldn't you give it to him for 6 months, just to, even if you didn't want to give it to him long term, give him a short 6 month contract.
So it
just doesn't feel particularly inspiring as a Spurs. Well, I'm not a Spurs fan, but if I was a Spurs fan, I'm not inspired by giving it to the assistant and Ryan Mason. As much as Ryan Mason seems like a nice guy,
do you not reckon that Spurs could sign ex Arsenal midfielder Patrick Vieira? Another casualty in the last couple of weeks since we podcasted.
Yeah, and looking as we were sort of speaking just prior to this, Palace are 12th in the league, and I would imagine every single Palace fan would bite your hand off to finish 12th in the league, anywhere above 18th. To be honest, I would imagine as a Palace fan, and we've been there as Brentford and Hull fans respectively. I know Brentford are doing pretty well these days, but when you're in that position, you know, anywhere above relegation zone is a successful season, and they're sat in 12th. I'm sure you're going to tell me there's only 3 points in it, Rob, or whatever it might be. But
no, I'm gonna agree with you, mate. I'm gonna agree with you of how ridiculous it is. So to put a bit of, I guess, reflection onto it, Patrick Vieira and Crystal Palace haven't won a game since Christmas. The last win in the league was the 31st of December. So since the new year. What's ridiculous, though, is the fact it's the run of games that they've played and the games they've played and who they've played, and now the run of games and who they're playing coming up against is to why they've sacked them. So since, and it's going to be a little bit long, so apologies, but since the start of 2023, they've played, lost to Tottenham, Chelsea, they then drew to Man United, drew to Newcastle, lost to United, drew to Brighton, drew to Brentford, drew to Liverpool, lost to Aston Villa, lost to Man City, and lost to Brighton, and the last game was a loss to Arsenal. Now, of all those teams I've just said, I don't think any of those are easy games. The only potentially easy game you could say in there is Villa. But as I was saying to Rob just before we started recording, Aston Villa, I think, currently have the third or fourth best form since Emery's taken over. So are you looking at teams in there like, if you look at the usual suspects, obviously, Brighton have always been relatively good. They got a draw and they lost 1-0 to Brighton. Brentford are in great form, obviously, of course, 3-1-0. They got results like Man United, they got a point against United, a point against Newcastle. I thought they were all relatively good results. They now come into a run of games, which is Leicester, who basically is all relegation teams. They're playing all the teams that they're basically now fighting against, which are the teams that, to be honest, at the start of the season, they were beating. So the fact they've done that, the fact they've appointed Roy Hodgson, who is so old. I know he knows the club and everything, but the fact they've sacked him, it just seems like a backward step for Palace. And I do feel a bit sorry for Palace fans, because who are they going to get in instead now?
Roy Hodgson, yeah. You're right. I mean, you just listed the I didn't quite appreciate the run of games that they've had, but you've literally just listed the top 10 teams, ten teams in the league. And if they're 12th, they've pretty much just played all the teams above them. And there's actually, as you mentioned there, there's some not half bad results against some of those teams, but managed to secure some draws against Man United, Newcastle, things like that. It's not to be sniffed at. And if they've got some easier fixtures coming up, maybe we should all be jumping on, I don't know, Jeff Schlupp or something like that too.
Tarek Mitchell. Yeah, they played every single team in the top half of the table apart from Fulham, and then obviously Aston Villa, who are 11th. So they've literally played the entire top half of the table, and they've got results in those games. Yeah. I don't really get it. I think it's an awful decision. Alas, that is football. So yeah, I mean, apart from that, there's not really been too much going on this week. International break. The joys of international break are just, they are what they are, aren't they?
Apart from Harry Kane becoming England's all-time leading goal scorer, but other than that, yeah, quite weak.
Oh, I mean, Ivan Toney getting his first cap for England as well, which is a bit more exciting. I did see, okay, I really like Harry Kane, so there's nothing against him.
Oh, you're gonna list out all the teams that you scored goals.
You've seen
against,
it as well, then, have you?
Yeah,
it is bad. It is bad. So, 32 out of 54 of Harry Kane's goals have been against San Marino, Albania, Bulgaria, Montenegro, Panama, Kosovo, Lithuania, Malta, Andorra, Nigeria, Scotland, Senegal, and Slovenia. He's then had 18 penalties, which means only 4 goals he scored against, we'll say, half decent sides. It doesn't look that great. I mean, no one really cares. It doesn't matter. But I'm sure Rooney had similar. So,
yeah, Rooney probably did. And you can only play what's in front of you, I guess, can't you? He's the record scorer. I don't think you can necessarily take that away from him.
No, it's just funny, isn't it?
He's taken us. Make it sound like he's the head coach, but you know, he's been to a Euros final, a World Cup semi-final, World Cup quarter-final just gone. So, I mean, I don't know why I'm defending him, because I'm not as big a fanboy as most, I don't think. But I'm not sure if you can read too much into those stats. We do play a lot of pointless friendlies and qualifiers against a lot of very, very bad international teams. So he's just
I'm trying to find which to make everyone feel better. I did find an even more stupid tweet earlier, and it was like, and you'll really enjoy this. It was like Cristiano Ronaldo is cooking at the moment, and it was like the amount of goals he scored for club and international. It's like, well, he's playing literally in the Farmers League in Saudi Arabia, and he then scored yesterday twice against Luxembourg. So it's like, what the fuck are they talking about? So this, yeah, in the last 2 games for Portugal, he scored 4 goals. He scored 2 goals against Liechtenstein and scored 2 goals against Luxembourg. Nobody gives a shit. So I can't remember who it was. It was like Goal or like one of these like sport Twitter, like one of these sport websites. I'm just like, what are you on? Like, this is literally the definition of clickbait. And I did click. So,
well, I thought you were going to mention the one where someone, post you mentioned about Gerrard. Kane. Someone replied to it about Gerrard's stats. So if you took Gerrard's goals against the same teams,
yeah,
took those. So the ones you listed out that Kane had just scored, yeah, where against all those rubbish teams. So if you took all those off Gerrard and took his penalties out for England,
yeah,
you'd be on -4.
How does that work?
I don't even know. It doesn't make sense.
How can you be on -4?
It's just obviously people just taking the piss. But yeah,
I love that. That's funny. That's very good.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, as I said, we're not going to talk about the fixtures this week, so we're going to jump straight into Snog, Marry, Avoid. If you've not listened to us before, Snog is a short-term pick, Marry is a long-term pick, and Avoid is someone we don't win on the teams. As the guest this week, mate, do you want to start, Snog?
Yeah, James Maddison as my Snog this week. So obviously, not only is he potentially riding on the high of his first England start, but he's got a very nice double game week coming up in the upcoming game week 29, and after that he's got a pretty nice home fixture against Bournemouth. But yeah, the double game week this week is against Palace and who else was it against? And Villa at home. So yeah, I know we know Villa on in good form, but at home. Talisman theory, he certainly is that for Leicester, and he's had 3 attacking returns in the last 5 game weeks, I think it is. So yeah, James Maddison, I know you've got him, Tom. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the run of fixtures they've got is just so good. Obviously got double this week, yes, you said Palace, Villa, Bournemouth next week. They got Man City, but I mean, you could easily bench him for 1 week if you wanted to. But to be fair, even with how Man City have been defensively this year, I wouldn't put it past him scoring in that game. And then, yeah, Wolves, Leeds, Everton, Fulham. And then the last few games are quite hard. So, I mean, Liverpool, Newcastle, finishes at West Ham. But yeah, it's just generally pretty good. Easy player to pick up. Easy to move around as well because he's like, his price points are quite good. You know, you've also got like Saka, Mahrez at similar prices. So you can like sort of move and mix and move around when you need to. So I like it, mate. I like it. I think it's good. This week I have gone with the man I'm completely and utterly in love with at the moment, Alexander Isak. Obviously, he just come off a fantastic game against Nottingham Forest. 2 goals, 1 from the penalty spot. Let's say plus the imaginary assist he should have had. Been playing really well. Looked fantastic in the game. I was saying to Cam, I think, the other day, he reminds me of like a better version of Peter Crouch. Because he's so fucking gangly. Like, he looks like, you know when like Peter Crouch used to play, he just looked completely out of place on a football pitch. But he was actually quite good. Like, even his control was actually like relatively decent. His touch was quite funny and actually skillfully it wasn't that bad. Isak looks similar, but just slightly less gangly. Obviously got the double this week. Man United at home, West Ham away. United's obviously a tough fixture. They've been, you know, United play well, but so have Newcastle. West Ham away, to be honest, should hopefully be a bit of a piece of piss for that. They then got Brentford away, which I know usually my bias will say it's a really tough fixture. I think it is a tough fixture because Brentford's home form is very good. You know, at home, they're a completely different animal to what they are away. And then they've got Aston Villa away in 31, and they do play in 32 as well, which obviously is a blank. He's playing really well, really like him. With the 2 goals, I'd imagine. Wait, so he's 3 goals in the last 2 games. Only worry about him is obviously Callum Wilson is back fit. I think now, and talking to some friends who are Geordie Newcastle fans, he does start, but potentially it's like one of those where he comes off after 60, 70 minutes. So I don't think you're going to see 90 minutes week in, week out from him. But I think we can see lots of goals potentially in the minutes he plays. So yeah, Alexander Isak for me. And he's already in my team.
I like it. I think he's obviously a very, very good player. I was when Newcastle first signed him, it was one that I got quite excited about when they did sign him. I must admit, a lot of my knowledge of him comes from Football Manager, and he does absolutely tear it up on that. He is the type of player that Newcastle are obviously ambitious with their current ownership and where they're heading to. And I think he's one of the players with the likes of Bruno Guimarães, where they're the sort of a couple of players that could lead them to the heights that they want to get to. I do honestly think he's that good. But the only risk around him is the minutes, as you say. Not only is sort of Wilson coming back to fitness, but I think Isak's fitness over the course of the whole season has been
dodgy.
A bit sketchy. Yeah, I think there's a run between sort of game week 9 and 19, so a good 10 week game weeks where, you know, he didn't play a minute, and then after then he was pretty managed over the next few game weeks before it's only now he's sort of coming back into full fitness, it seems. So great that you've obviously jumped on it very early, as he has come into full fitness, because obviously it's paid in massive reward, particularly in the last game week when he got the couple of goals, which has boosted your rank. But I am slightly nervous about his minutes, as you say. But if he plays a lot of minutes, I'm sure he'll get a lot of goals.
All I need him is to play two games in the next. I need him to play 180 minutes in the next double game week, and then I can sack him off for Haaland. So, he's long term hold. But yeah, for me at the moment, it's a snog. Depending on how many yellow cards Tony gets in the next few game weeks, depends on who I'm getting rid of in the next few weeks. So. I really do enjoy it. Your Mary this week, sir?
My Mary is actually not a double game week player, which might be quite surprising, considering it is obviously a double game week. But yes, Mr. Harold Kane is my Mary. Some obvious reasons, as you can tell, there's a bit of a theme to my picks in terms of people who might have got a bit of a bounce from the international break. With I mentioned Madison before getting his first start, hopefully that gives him a bit of confidence, and then with Kane getting the record that we've just mentioned as well, gives him the confidence to crack on. Again, talisman theory, I was just looking down the list before, he literally plays 90 minutes week in, week out without fail. 21 goals in the league this season, 6 assists. Obviously he'd be far and away above the rest if it wasn't for a certain Norwegian striker. And the reason why continues to be the Mary is, yes, he's only got one fixture in 29, which is Everton, who obviously they've improved a bit under Dyche, but still you'd like to think is a relatively easy fixture. And then from there, there's some relatively straightforward fixtures beyond that. So Brighton at home, yeah, fair enough, Brighton in good form, but home fixture. Bournemouth at home is about as plumb fixture as it gets. Then there is a bit of a tricky spell where it goes Newcastle, Manchester United, Liverpool, but then Palace, Villa, Brentford, Leeds at home. I just think, plus with the Conte sacking and the hopeful bounce, even though we weren't too confident in the assistant. I always forget the assistant manager's name now. Who's got the job?
Stellini.
Stellini. But even though we weren't too complimentary, hopefully there is a bit of a balance there at Spurs, and everything points in the right direction to Kane doing well.
Yes.
You don't sound convinced.
No, I am. It's an annoying one because I am. I think he's perfectly. I mean, as you said, he's on 21 goals, 6 assists, absolutely on fire. I'm probably going to get rid of him this week. I'm getting rid of him or Saka, and it just feels wrong. I do love a double game week, and I'm on bench boost, so I've got 13 double game week players, and I've got Kane and Saka, and I want to get rid of one of them to get another doubler in for free. I have a free transfer to do it. But I just don't know if I can bring myself to get rid of either Kane or Saka. I still don't know what I'm going to do. But yeah, I mean, he's on fire. I mean, I guess it makes it slightly easier because my marry for this week is Bruno Fernandes. Bruno Fernandes. So more than likely, it's going to be Saka out for Bruno Fernandes for me this week. Again, I think he's been on excellent form. He's been playing really, really well. United also do have a double game week this week. It's 9.6 mil, so he's not... I mean, money's not really an issue for anyone at the moment, is it? So... last game obviously was against Southampton, which to be honest, United were pretty shit in. But since he's come back from the World Cup, he's been very, very consistent. Since they finally got rid of Ronaldo, he's been incredibly consistent. Obviously, potentially on penalties as well with him and Rashford. And United are playing well. They're, you know, in good form, playing really well. Two fixtures they have obviously are Newcastle away and Brentford at home. Newcastle away is obviously going to be a ridiculously tough fixture. Brentford at home will be easier. Brentford's away form's not been fantastic. And then United, just through the rest of the season, just have a really fantastic run of games. They've also got Everton, Nottingham Forest in 30-31, blank in 32, which is an issue. But then they've got Spurs in 33, a double game week of Aston Villa and Brighton. They then have West Ham, Wolves, Bournemouth and Fulham to finish the season, with Chelsea still to be inserted, more than likely in 36 or 37. So they've got three double game weeks for the rest of the season. They've got the most fixtures out of every team left. And yeah, I think he's just a player that's worth owning probably for the rest of the season. What do you reckon?
Bruno Fernandes.
Bruno Fernandes.
On first look, thought he was a good pick for Amari. Fixtures, I definitely agree with. And I feel like I have watched United in the last few games, and he has looked good alongside Rashford and a few of the others, to be fair. And I felt like I've seen him score a load of goals. But then I'm just looking through the previous game weeks now, and he hasn't scored in the last 5 weeks, which I must have been dreaming some of the goals he scored. They might have been in the Europa League or the cups potentially.
Yeah, he scored a few in the Europa League. Yeah,
yeah, but he did get obviously a couple of assists against Leicester. But yeah, I just thought he'd been a little bit more consistent than that than over the last few weeks, and it doesn't massively look like it. But I mean, putting the statistics to one side, because who wants to believe those? Then I think it's a good pick. He's got good fixtures going forward, as you say. Man United are in good form, so on the whole, so yeah, that it seems like a good pick for me, and certainly a marry, because I don't think if you did bring him in this week, I don't think you'd want to get rid of him until the end of the season, as you say, because of all those upcoming double game weeks and lovely fixtures.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously there's a blank in 32, that's it really, other than that, because obviously that'll be the FA Cup semi-finals, but other than that, that's pretty much it. Obviously if people still have free hit, then free hit in 32 is still looking pretty likely for a lot of people. If you don't have free hits, then you just have to work your way around that. But yeah, I don't know, I think it's punty enough that I sort of like it. I mean, it's definitely going to be a differential this week. I don't know what his ownership is, actually. His ownership is 7.5%, but obviously there'll be a lot of dead teams in there as well. So live percentage of, like, sort of, you know, people actually playing the game, I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, I think it's rogue enough where I'm going to probably go for it and just take the punt of not having Saka for 2 weeks. Who are you getting rid of? Who do you want at your team? Who do you not want anywhere near your team?
I'm going to go with a man called Gabriel Dos Santos Magalhães, also just known as Gabriel. Gabriel, Arsenal centre-back. He's actually been brought in. I think he's the third highest, or certainly one of the third highest player brought in overall this week, or certainly the third highest defender.
Third highest defender, I think. Yeah,
brought in by 58,000 people. And yeah, there's the reason why I avoid. I think, don't get me wrong, I think he's a good player, and obviously Arsenal are a good team, doing very well. But looking backwards, they've kept 3 clean sheets in the last 10 game weeks, which doesn't strike you with huge amounts of confidence for their, you know, clean sheet keeping ability. But not only that, I mean, the fixtures upcoming, they've only got one game week this week, which, yes, is Leeds at home. But then after that, there's Liverpool away. And in a couple of game weeks after that, it's Man City and Chelsea back to, well, and then Newcastle and Brighton, which are all are tough fixtures. So I don't love the idea of bringing in an Arsenal defender right now. I do have Ben White, but that's only because he's pretty much been in my team since the start of the season, really. And I've not wildcarded recently to get rid of him, or else I probably would have done. So, yeah, as I say, I don't think there's a strong track record of clean sheets in the very recent near past. And I don't love the upcoming fixtures. So I'm going to suggest not to bring in Gabriel like 58,000 people have done, and probably avoid Arsenal defence altogether at the moment.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Yeah, they've just been really leaky. They've not actually been that good. Home, I think their home form is actually the one where they've been more leaky. It's actually a way they've been not too bad, but at home they've literally not kept a clean sheet for eight. I mean, Everton they kept, I think it was. But on that, they lost to Everton away, didn't they? Yeah, no, it's been pretty poor. So I don't really like any of the Arsenal defenders. And there's so much more choice, I think, defence at the moment, especially the likes of your double game week players like Brighton, United, Shaw. They're all better. My avoid this week is going to be Mo Salah. He's been bought in by 80,000 people this week. Does have a double game week. The double game week is Manchester City and Chelsea. So we'll not be touching him with a 10-foot barge pole. It's not even the fact that he's playing badly at the moment, which I believe he is. He's not playing particularly well. If you just look at the double game week midfielders you can have at the moment, which are going to cost you less money and are in better form, there's just so many to pick from. I mean, you can pick all of the Brighton midfielders. Marcus Rashford, obviously, the majority of people own him already. Bruno Fernandes, who I've already said. You've got Saka, even though he's got a single game week. I'd rather have Saka than Salah, I think, this week. James Maddison, as you've mentioned. There literally is just a raft of midfielders that I'd rather have than Mo Salah at the moment. He's not in a few weeks' time. There's potential after the next three games. He's got Man City and Chelsea this week in the double. They've then got Arsenal at home. And then after that, they've got a lovely run of fixtures, including a double win to the 34 as well. But right now, I don't want him for those three games because I don't think Liverpool are going to win them. I think the other three teams are going to be... Chelsea maybe is the only one where it could be slightly worse, but I think even Chelsea turn up for that game. And I don't think they're going to do anything against Man City or Arsenal. So for me, I'm going to be steering hard clear of any Liverpool player for the next two game weeks.
Yeah, definitely. I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think you stay clear for the next couple of weeks at least, and then that might change very quickly into Liverpool players becoming snogs or marries, including Salah. Albeit, I agree with what you said about it feels like a long and distant memory when on this podcast you and Cam used to compare your captaincy scores just purely against Salah's ability. But it certainly doesn't feel like he's that player anymore. Or he hasn't been in. I'm not saying that's gone completely, but the form's certainly not there. But as you say, a lot of good fixtures. Midfielders to pick from with better fixtures. So stay clear for a couple of weeks, and then maybe reassess in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, and that's snog, barrier, void for the week. So I thought we'd do a quick rundown of just who is doubling this week, and obviously what we've got coming up in the next few weeks with regards to doubles, and it's a bit all mad at the moment. But double game week teams this week. Is there anyone in particular that you're looking at that goes, oh, they've got obviously Leicester's the standout one for me this week. Palace away and Aston Villa at home. Is there anyone else that you fancy?
Yeah, as you mentioned with the Leicester fixtures, I don't think anyone has the absolute perfect two games in succession within the game week. I think everyone pretty much has one game where you think actually that could be tricky, or they might not do particularly well in that fixture. There's not the stand. I mean, arguably the best might be Bournemouth with two home games, but they are against Fulham and Brighton, who are in decent form this season, and it's Bournemouth, so you don't want to really go anywhere near their fixtures, but players, sorry. But yeah, I think otherwise, obviously, you've mentioned it just before then, the Brighton have got a couple of, they do have a double game week and in very good form, and their midfielders are very, very, very strong at the moment in terms of March, Matoma, McAllister, all the M's. But Brentford at home, which I know you'll tell me is a incredibly difficult fixture.
Incredibly difficult fixture.
and then Bournemouth away. But otherwise, there is a lot of double game weeks this week, which is obviously great for us to try and maximise. But I don't think there's one standout team that I'm specifically targeting. I don't necessarily think. How are you assessing it?
Not really, no. I mean, I own three players from Brentford, Newcastle, and I think that might be it, actually. Oh, Brighton. So only from those three teams. And when you think about it like that, I know the teams are near the top of the table. But that's not the usual teams you target for a double game week, is it? Mm-hmm. So obviously your likes of Man City don't have a double. Arsenal don't have a double. Liverpool do, but it's ridiculously difficult. Yeah, I mean, it's slightly interesting one, but you'd have to go full risk on it, is Nottingham Forest have a double game week, which is Wolves and Leeds. If you wanted to go really rogue and you were scrimping through it of money, then Johnson's potentially a shout, Brennan Johnson, who's been in really good form recently. Scored a couple of goals against Everton. Other than that, he's not done very much, but you'd have to go super. I mean, that's not particularly a good shout, I don't think.
But yeah, I think Forrest are a strange side. I mean, I was just looking at their starting lineup, and they had a front three of Johnson, who I do agree is good, but came up with them from the Championship, and then it was Chris Wood and Andre Ayew. Yeah. And I've heard they've spent hundreds and millions of pounds summer and in January, and then they've got a front three of Johnson, Chris Wood, and Andre Ayew.
That makes me really happy.
You just what? Yeah, I don't get it, to be honest with you.
I love it.
I certainly don't know who you'd be targeting outside of Johnson.
No. Oh yeah. So I mean, there's lots of doubles this week. I guess the things for people to know who may not be aware is there's a blank in 32 that I've mentioned a couple of times. Brighton, Chelsea, Man City and United all blank in those games. But then there is a double in 34, which includes Brighton, Man City and Man United. So if people do still have free hits, then 32 is now looking like a relatively good time to probably use it, because you can stack up on those players and then continue to have those players through to 34. Of those teams, Brighton and United will have another double game week after that as well. And Brighton will, I think it's Brighton again, will have another game week after that double game week. So I think Brighton have four double game weeks, potentially a triple game week. In one of the, if they move fixtures into 36, it might be 36, 37 for all of them. So it might be a triple 37 game week. It might be two 36s. They were expecting it to be into 31, but that's not seemed to have happened. So if you're not sure, just have a quick look at, go look at Ben Krellin on Twitter. And yeah, he has the spreadsheet of everything. I'll probably retweet it or something. I'll retweet it now, actually. There you go. So you can go look at my Twitter and you can see all of the fixtures right now as we are. And yeah, that's about it, really. What are you thinking about doing this week? So what's your plans?
Yeah, so originally, my original plan was I've got three Arsenal players, unfortunately, even though they've only got one game week and Kane, but I want to keep all of those assets because I think they could potentially outscore most, if not all, double game week players. The only real issue I thought I had was Nathan Patterson, who obviously was bench fodder, and I'm looking to play my bench boost this week. So my original plan was to remove him. I've got plenty of cash in the bank, so I was potentially going to look to upgrade him to a Chilwell or someone like that, because Chelsea also have a double game week, and he looks particularly good against Everton in the last game, now that Chelsea have moved to a five at the back. I know they conceded two, but he's getting forward from that wing-back role. So I like the look of that. But then, as you mentioned earlier, Almiron is now marked as injured until the end of April. So I was potentially going to look at a minus four to bring in James Maddison to replace him. Again, got plenty of cash in the bank, so I can afford to do so. So with that minus four, I then felt like I had a pretty strong team. I have got 10 double game week players plus three Arsenal assets and Harry Kane, which leaves me in a relatively strong position, I think. And I've still got my wild card to play, which I will likely play potentially next week to try and get my team set up and in a good position, ready for the running from game week 30 onwards. But then Danny Ward is the thorn in my side because he's been dropped by Brendan Rodgers and no longer in goal at Leicester. So, yeah, I potentially only have one playing goalkeeper. Do I then waste the bench boost on the fact that he might not play? Or should I not be wasting my or spending my time on my bench boost decision thinking about my sub goalkeeper and just do it anyway? So, unbelievably, the bench boost is weighing is the bench boost is in the balance of whether Danny Ward plays or not.
I love it. It's so funny. Bench boost down to Danny Ward. Thank God I decided during wildcard to get rid of Danny Ward to go for Kepa and Raya. See, there's always positives to being a deluded Brentford fan. You bring in the goalkeeper.
Is this where you tell me you've got 15 double game week players and everything's looking rosy and the gap between us is only going to get bigger?
13 double game week players, Saka and Kane, to which I'll probably bin off one of those for Fernandes or Ollie Watkins, depending on which way I'm swayed during the week. At the moment, as I mentioned earlier, probably going to be Bruno Fernandes for Saka because I just really like the idea of the punt. I don't know who I'm going to captain this week, though.
Mine is currently sat on Rashford.
Me too. Me too. But I don't know if I like it or not.
I'm not 100% sold. I could change my mind. I think it kind of sums up the double game week in the sense that, and what we were talking about with the fixtures earlier, in the sense that we couldn't 100% nail our colours to the mast in terms of, you know, one team, like you said, a Liverpool, a Salah, you know, a Haaland, even a Kane, or the Arsenal assets. You know, either only got one fixture or a very difficult double game week. And so you don't want to put the captaincy on them. So it's tough. It's Brighton or a Rashford or a Fernandes if you bring him in.
I was thinking James Maddison as well.
I'm not sure if I've got the cojones to put the armband on him as well, just because of Leicester's
form. I think they've got the best. Yeah, Leicester haven't been good, but they have got the best. They have got the best fixtures, I'd say.
I've probably managed fixtures. Yeah,
managerless. Sorry, Roy Hodgson, Crystal Palace. And although they've been in great form, very leaky Aston Villa. Yeah, so I'm probably between three, I'd say. Rashford, who's currently got the captaincy. Maddison and probably Matoma. Maybe McAllister. It would be one or the other on the Brighton ones. That's not really a big issue, but
yeah, the only other thing that I might do is not play the bench boost altogether. Just depending on you know, team news and other things. I do still have my wild card, so there is an option for me to try and scrape through to 34. Where there's the other double game week and try and maximise that one with my bench boost and wildcard just before it. But there's a danger that if everyone is bench boosting this week, that the gap between me and you
and me
or whoever else gets bigger and bigger before that time. And the ship's already sailed. So we will see. We will see. Are you definitely nailed on bench boosting, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, the team's luckily, we know we've got through pretty much all of the international break and knock on wood, we're looking like there's no significant injuries that have come through. Obviously Rashford has withdrawn for a knock, but reports are that it's not particularly anything bad. It's just a classic international break fake injury. I think the only one that I've got left that's potential, I've got Isak playing tonight for Sweden, and I think Estepinan still playing in Australia at some point this week. So yeah, I think that's the only two. Apart from that, everyone else has played or didn't go away with the international break, so hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll be okay. And I've got free transfer to use if needs be. So, I mean, if Estupiñan got injured, I can just keep saying Saka and Kane, bin off Estupiñan to Luke Shaw or someone like that, and I'm in a good place still. So we will see. But at the moment, we're still looking pretty good. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this week, even if you're not. I think that's it, mate, isn't it? I think that is all we've got time for. In the immortal words of baby daddy, FPL dummy Cam. thanks for joining me this week, mate.
Good, thank you for having me. Thanks for still allowing me to come on despite my poor performance this season.
I love this. I love that this is like the level you set yourself. It's poor performance because, I mean, you're still, what, 150k in the world?
Yeah, 140, I think, unless I'm going down even more.
And I usually do this podcast with a guy who's currently 380k in the world and has been sat outside the top 1 million for literally weeks. Don't worry. You're definitely a more qualified manager than him.
I just felt like, considering every time I come on, you tell everyone some of my previous ranks, then I need to bring myself back down to the size. And
you finished in the top 1,000 last year. Shut up, dickhead.
Yeah, well, as you say, everyone's allowed a bad one every now and again, aren't they? So
I have a bad one every year. I'm waiting for the good one. No, thank you very much for joining me, mate. If you have enjoyed listening to us, you can follow me on FPL Dummy Tom on Twitter. Our podcast is FPL by Dummies. Rob's not on Twitter, so you can't follow him. So luckily, I'm the only one who ever gets his good advice or bad advice, depending on how well it's going during the week. Thanks very much for joining us. We apologise for the lack of pods over the last few weeks because, well, as you are aware, there's a certain new member of the FPL dummy team. I don't think we'll be able to get her on podcast anytime soon, though. Probably give it at least a few years before she's playing FPL and Cam has forced her into playing. But we will be back again next week, maybe back with Cam, depending on if he's not completely emotionally and just generally tired out from everything that's going on. But if not, I'll be back next week with somebody else. Who knows who yet? We'll try and figure that out later on. But bye for now, and we'll see you next week.